Welcome in. Happy Wednesday, Willard and Dibs. No Willard, though. It's Dibs and Grandy with you here on 95.7 The Game. Dibs, what a difference 24 hours makes, huh?
Right? Two games, two wins, 18 runs?
Woo!
I mean,
how many home runs? They hit three today? How many did they hit yesterday?
Two yesterday, right? I mean, they're back. They're all the way back.
All the way back?
World Series or bust.
Is that what you think?
I mean, yes, but no. I mean, yes, because that's what we do in sports radio. We react to new information, but no, because it's baseball. And if you think about the road trip, they went 2-4 on the road. You got swept, and then you got embarrassed, and then, yeah, you won two games, and so the flight home right now, and I'm sure they're already in the air going from Atlanta, and it's kind of cool that they have an off day tomorrow, so you get to land and chill and family and whatever.
And then Mets.
The Mets come in. Whatever, the Mets. That's fine. I mean, Mets,
a good Schmets, team.
They're a good team, and I don't even know if Ken's in there. I'm trying to
ignore him.
Exactly, but yeah, you've got that on Friday, so the reality is, you went 2-4 on the trip. So, are you back? No. You went 2-4 on the road trip. You got swept in Canada, and you gutted out a nice 2 out of 3 against Atlanta. But the one thing that does make me a little bit enthused is Rafi Devers.
Oof.
Hello, Rafi. Welcome to the Giants.
Two home runs today, including one that was about to bounce on home plate. And he golfed it out down the right field line.
That was crazy.
That was incredible. That was like a Pablo Sandoval home run. Like, you don't see many dudes that are capable of hitting a ball like that out. It goes to show just how strong he is, because that was no lower body in that swing. That was one hand. I'm reaching down trying to get it, and he somehow hits it out. I think he hit it like only 93 miles an hour off the bat. I have to dive into the analytics. The percentage of balls that are hit 93 miles an hour off the bat that get out, like, got to be 1%, if not less than that.
Right.
And then he cranked a normal home run the very next inning, a 3-run shot that put the Giants ahead 6-0. That was what turned out to be the winning run, as it all comes at the end. 9-3 was the final score. That was runs 4, 5, and 6 for the Giants. He was also really good yesterday. He had a couple of hits, including a double and an RBI and a run. He played his first ever game at first base last night, DH today. But he was talking post-game last night, Dibs, about how playing in the field helps him at the plate because it just allows him to take his mind off of struggles at the plate or just the plate in general, whether he's going good or going bad. Just don't think about it. Relax. You go into every at-bat, with an easier feeling. And the other thing is, if you're struggling, Dibs, and you're playing in the field, you go 0-for-4 with a couple of strikeouts, you don't commit an error defensively, you still have a feeling like, hey, I contributed to the team today because at least I didn't boot the ball around. I made a nice play here and there. I stretched to get an out, whatever the case is. Playing in the field, as long as you're not messing up in the field, can only be a good thing for a hitter trying to get off to Schneid.
Right, and I think about Elliot Ramos today where he made a great diving catch in left field, and even, you know, whether or not he contributed at the plate or not, he did that. And for him right now, that's big, to be able to be in the field and actually, you know, not only not make mistakes, but make big plays. And Verlander wasn't shaky, but he did walk 5 guys. And
it was the first couple of innings were,
right?
Oh my God, is he going to even get through 3? Is he going to get pulled in the first?
Right, but he got through it, he got around it, and he allowed no runs. And
only one hit.
That's right. And the Giants were able to, you know, get around it and give him some offense, and they got the win. So when you look at the last 2 days, yeah, you're much more enthused, but I look at the overall road trip, 2-4, and you had to have a team meeting to kind of shake things up, and it worked. And so we've seen it before where you've had team meetings, you've had trades, and, you know, you've shaken things up, and it's actually worked. But now come home and show me that what you've done over the last 2 days is something that can be sustained.
Well, yeah, 888-957-9570. I think we said it during the crossover. The Giants season has been, especially of late, a bit of a roller coaster. And the Giants, they hope that they just found their latest low point and that they're now on the upturn and are beginning to climb towards the top of a hill. But just how much do we think they're going to climb? How much did these last 2 games over the course of the last you know, not even 24 hours from start of the game yesterday to end of the game today. We're talking about like 20 hours worth of time where there's two baseball games in there, and it's a 9-0 win and a 9-3 win. How much does that change your mind, your opinion of what this team is and what they're capable of? Because the one thing that potentially we might have done yesterday, Dibs, and by we, maybe me, maybe I overreacted to just the absolute most embarrassing display of baseball I've seen in a long time. Bottom line is that was just a single game. It was the sixth consecutive game that they had lost, and they hadn't been playing good baseball in those previous five losses either. So there's reason, plenty of reason to be concerned and worried. Not because I think the Giants are suddenly the worst team in baseball, but because they're not even close playing up to their standards. But what does two games do? How much are two games, two really nice wins worth? 18 runs in the last 2 days. And now quietly, of late, Dibs, 6 runs, 5 runs, 9 runs, 9 runs. That is 29 runs over their last 4 games. You have some signs of life from the offense, but when they put it all together, the last 2 games, just how much is that really worth? It's going to be hard for me to forget how ugly that 6-game losing streak
right.
was.
Right, and you said 29 runs in 4 games, and you went 2-2. So that, for me, becomes the bigger thing to talk about where, you know, Hayden Birdsong, he was unable to get an out, a singular out, and he got sent down to AAA. And so, yeah, the offense was there, and, you know, you had some runs, but you still got the L, and you mentioned 29 runs, and you were 2-2. So Verlander, he looked better, better-ish. I mean, the control was an issue, but he was unhittable. He walked 5. He gave up 1 hit. Landon Roop, I do think, has gotten to a spot where not only do you rely on him, but you can kind of, you can't bank on any pitcher, as we saw from Logan and Robbie Ray and their two starts coming out of the break. But Landon Roop is a guy who you can say, yeah, you're here, you're in the rotation. Verlander today was a little bit shaky, but he was mostly unhittable. But for me, it comes down to, all right, now who's going to be your fifth starter? And that's where I think about Carson Wisenhunt. And maybe it's time in a week or two. And I know he hasn't been great in AAA, but you need somebody to come up and start. And it's not Hayden Birdsong. So I do think that when you look at the upcoming week or 2 weeks, and you got the deadline in 8 days, you need another starter to come here and shore up your rotation.
Birdsong's spot in the rotation is Sunday versus the Mets, because it'll be Webb and Ray Friday and Saturday versus the Mets, and then that would be Birdsong's spot. But they do have Thursday off.
Right. So they could be Roop, right?
Yeah. They could just skip that spot in the rotation entirely. I think if they don't do that, I mean, there is a possibility they go to an opener, and with today's off day, they're going to go into that Braves series relatively open in the bullpen. They're not going to be terribly winded, although they have had to eat a lot of innings of late, including today and yesterday when Roop and Verlander each only went 5 innings. Like, that's still 4 innings in both of those games the bullpen had to cover. That they did bring some arms up to help them, Carson Seymour and Sean Jelly. Jelly pitched both yesterday and today. Yep. Seymour closed the game out yesterday to save some of their other and their more high-leverage arms. So maybe they go to an opener, but if it is not an opener, Dibs, and if they don't just skip the spot, there will be another roster move. Like, Jelly and Seymour did not get called up to take Birdsong's spot. They got called up, as we've seen, to eat innings now.
Exactly.
Because the bullpen is winded. They're taxed.
And Jelly today gave up 3, and, you know, it was 9-0, so it didn't matter. But, I mean, it was whatever, but they were one or two more big hits away from, like, oh, God, do we need to, like, wake up Tyler Rogers and wake up Doval from their slumber? Because 9-0 got to 9-3 in a hurry.
Yeah.
And it was, okay, all right, Jelly, let's go ahead and, you know, get us out of this, because, you know, this is getting a little bit uncomfortable. So you're right. It's not going to be Jelly. It's not Seymour.
I mean, it might be. That's just not why. If you're not making the move when they did for Birdsong, you're making the move when you did for right now.
Right.
Now, those guys ultimately could be the guys that take Birdsong's innings. We'll see.
And you're right. But they made the move right now because they needed people to come up and actually get people out. And so
they couldn't get through this series without them.
And Birdsong is in a spot where he needs to have, you know, a month or maybe longer to go down and, like, figure it out and get comfortable and come back. But if you're looking for a fifth starter, for me, it's not Jelly. And I guess it could be Seymour, but that's a big ask of a guy to come up, and now, you know, you're in the rotation. So I wonder what they might do if it is, you know, somebody that they want to go to, like Wisenhunt. If you bring him up and he has not been terrific in AAA, as Dave Fleming told the guys on the morning roast, but that would require a 40-man roster move. But, you know, you mentioned it. You can skip it, and you can push that thing a little further out, and maybe you actually make a trade between now and the deadline, which is 8 days and 36 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Coming up the 31st, so that's Thursday at 3 o'clock Pacific
time. Week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yep. So, we're getting there, and I wonder if they would make that sort of a move to bring somebody in, and again, that would require a 40-man roster move as well.
I wouldn't be shocked if they were to bring a starter in. I don't think they're shopping in the expensive aisle at the trade deadline. I don't really see how they have the ability to do something like that. My only point with the roster moves that they made is just because Wisenhunt wasn't called up because Seymour and Jelly were called up ahead of Wisenhunt does not mean that Wisenhunt is not going to be the guy to potentially take Birdsong's spot. Now, he might not be, but I would not use the roster moves from yesterday as a reason to believe that, because, again, those roster moves were made to get them through this Atlanta series. They don't have to answer the Birdsong question for a handful of days, and it might be for another week until that spot in the rotation comes up again. Now, you're right. Dave Fleming was asked by the Joes on the morning roast yesterday about Wisenhunt or about AAA in general, and essentially Dave said something along the lines of, it would be great if he was forcing their hand, but he's not. So it was not a glowing recommendation from Dave Fleming, but the Giants might not have a better option, and maybe that is where they turn to. The other thing, though, Dibs, about skipping the spot in the rotation is there, then you're getting more appearances, more innings quickly for Landon Roop, who's already approaching a limit. Or not a limit, but his career high.
Right.
And who knows exactly how the Giants are going to plan that one out, because if suddenly Landon Roop falls off a cliff or they can't pitch him anymore, then they got a major problem on their hands.
Right, because you're already down a starter because, you know, you realize that Hayden Birdsong was going to struggle, and, you know, Verlander today was good enough to where you keep throwing him, and, you know, he gave up the one hit and five walks, and Verlander's a guy that you're not going to move off of unless it's a total absolute calamity. So you're going to have him, and he's going to eat innings. He's 42. He's done it for long enough to where, you know, you hope that he can be good Verlander as opposed to what he's been most of the year this year, which is bad Verlander. So if Roop is a guy who runs up against that limit, well, then you do have real issues.
Yeah, we'll see. And as far as it relates to Verlander, they don't have any other option but to keep throwing him. They don't have the dudes to fill another hole at that spot. So it's going to keep happening, I think, for a while, even if Verlander struggles after his good start today. All right, we're sponsored by Frontier Ford. Time's ticking at Frontier Ford. The $7,500 federal EV tax credit disappears soon, and our huge inventory of Mustang Mach-Es is ready to roll. Over 60 Mach-Es in stock, all loaded with tech and range. Don't wait for the deadline. Grab yours now. Save $7,500 and drive electric today at Frontier Ford. It's Willard and Dibs. Dibs and Grandy with you. More next here on 95.7 The Game.
Devers hooks that one down the right field line. White turning around. It's gone! Devers! Man, he got like 70% of that one, and he still hit it out.
Interesting to see what he chooses to throw here, 3-2. Because you got to figure Raffy's not looking too comfortable to come dive over home plate, so maybe that sets up a cutter.
Runners go. Devers launches one out to right field. Eli White back and gone! Don't poke the bear.
Just speak it into existence. That's what you got to do.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Dave Fleming, Javi Lopez on NBC Sports Bay Area calling not one but two Rafi Devers home runs. The first was like less than a foot above the ground when it made contact with his bat, and you could just tell the surprise in Dave Fleming's voice that it got out, and then he knew it immediately off the bat for that second one. Just compare the way Dave sounded there versus the way he sounded 2 games ago.
No!
When right? The ball dropped in deep left center field. Quite the difference. Again, what a difference 24 hours makes.
No doubt, and very cleansing to get those two wins in that fashion where it didn't matter if the defense was sloppy because you put up 9 and you put up 9. And so, yeah, the offense carried the day, and the pitching yesterday, Landon Roop was great. Today, Justin Verlander was good enough, and the defense didn't do anything to allow Atlanta back in it, and so you got two wins that you were desperately needing after what happened in Canada.
Yeah, and Rafi Devers led the way 2 for 5 last night with a double, an RBI, and a run scored. Plus, he played first base for the first time in his big league career. Here's what Rafi Devers said through his translator, Erwin Higueros, about playing in the field and how that honestly helps him at the plate.
Definitely. It keeps me active. It keeps my head out of just thinking about the next at bat. I'm the kind of player that likes to be active, likes to be on the field. I'd rather be on the field than be in the cage hitting all the time and just thinking about the next at bat.
First thing my mind thinks, Dibs, is sorry to all the Boston Red Sox fans hearing Rafi Devers say that.
Right. That
I like to be out there in the field. In fact, it helps me as a hitter.
Right, and I mean, he would have liked to play third in Boston, but they got a third baseman to take his place, and then they wanted him to play first, and at that point, he was like, no, I'm good, I'll DH, and it was more personal, I think, than it was what he's talking about here, and you know, it's good news that his back is at a spot now where he can actually go out there and play first base, and today he was back to DHing, which is fine. You're not going to put him out there every day and have him play first all the time, but the fact that he actually was able to go out there and play first is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and then today he followed it up, as you said, at DH, but he hit 2 home runs, and that is the kind of player the Giants know Rafi Devers to be and what they were expecting him to be when they acquired him. I mean, obviously Verlander was great, and I mean, he didn't give up a run, and he gave up only one hit. It was not an easy 5 innings, but he put zeros on the board, and there's not a whole lot more you can ask from your pitchers than doing that. Ideally, you like him to go 6 innings, but 5 shutout innings, you will take that, of course, every single time. But Rafi Devers today, Dibs, he won the Giants this baseball game. He won them the game. He hit the tie-breaking home run to go ahead 1-0 after, you know, it was scoreless for a while. And then Chapman followed up and hit a 2-run homer, 3-0 Giants. The next inning, Devers at the plate again on a 3-2 count, 3-run homer deep to right center field, 6-0 Giants. Giants ultimately win the game 9-3. He hit the two biggest hits of the game. And it was not single-handedly, but games where you hit 2 home runs, you drive in 4 runs, you score a couple of runs yourself, you had multiple balls off the bat above 100 miles an hour. That's who Rafi Devers is, and that's why you acquire someone like that, because he can nearly single-handedly win you a game, not just every once in a while, but like he gets on a stretch like he might be entering into right now. He could win you 2 games in the span of like 4 days, just based on how good his bat is.
Well, and if you look at what Adames has done, Adames has been this player for almost 8 weeks, and it even prompted Steiny to come out and, you know, tip the cap, the virtual cap tip from Steiny, and it's been almost 8 weeks now that Adames has been kind of the player that you thought that you were going to acquire. So if you get Devers to be that, and then you add in either Chapman or Ramos or somebody else, and you get a real middle of the order that is, you know, starting to pop, and Devers is better than what he's been. We all know that, and it takes time, and maybe it was the ballpark today. I don't know what the circumstances were, but he came out and he did the thing, and you can give him credit, and I also give Verlander credit, and we're watching the replay right now of, you know, the game, and it's bottom one, and there's two on, and Verlander's out there grinding, and you know he's able to get through it. I know it. Spoiler alert: he didn't give up a run, but the way he went about it today was shaky. But as a veteran, when you can do that, as opposed to Hayden Birdsong, and I'm not going to continue to throw dirt on the poor kid in his career, but he got into a similar spot 2 days ago, and it totally got away from him. And this is where you have a veteran, and I'm looking at it, and Verlander just walked him loaded.
Yep.
And still, I know, spoiler alert, they don't score. The pitching coach comes out. He gets the out they needed. And so that combined with an offense that it does actually have the potential to be live and potent, and you saw that today and yesterday.
Yeah. No, and they've now scored 29 runs in their last four games. And speaking of Justin Verlander, by the way, his brother, Ben Verlander, is going to join us in 20 minutes here on Willard and Dibbs. So Ben Verlander, if you're big on Twitter or X, you probably, and you're a big baseball fan, you probably see him pop up there. Very active on social media, also on Instagram, hosts the Flippin' Bats podcast with Fox. Talk to him about Justin Verlander, his brother, getting his first win of the year. Also about this Giants team in general and everything that they've been going through of late, how terrible they have looked at times. But still, what is the fair expectation for this team going forward? How about this? You were just talking about this, Dibs. This comes courtesy of the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. The 925 writes, Rafi will now be back to Pac Bell Rafi. 210 tons of strikeouts. He's only a hitter's park guy now. I guess at this point, we don't have a ton of evidence to suggest that he's going to keep raking when he gets back home. We'll find out on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and beyond. But Rafael Devers is the kind of hitter, Dibs, that when he's going right, there's no park that will minimize his bat. Maybe it's fewer home runs at one park versus the other, but there will still be tons of extra base hits and RBIs.
And really, for me, it's about the contact and the exit velocity and loud contact and all the rest of it. And you saw today where the one that he golfed out was probably maybe a fly ball out at Oracle Park.
I'll look up how many ballparks that's a home run at.
Right, and I love the StatCast numbers on that because that was one of those ones where you just kind of golfed it, and he didn't really crush it, but it goes out, and it's in Atlanta, and it counts as a home run. But if you get to Oracle Park, the second one that he hit for a home run, that's going to be a home run just about everywhere. So for me, it's not even about the ballpark or, you get to Colorado and, fluky stuff, or you get to Arizona, same thing. But can you get loud contact? Can you get some at bats where you actually groove it, you barrel it up, and you actually, look to do a little bit of damage?
That home run by Rafi Devers, and if you missed it, it was in the fifth inning with one out, nobody on base, breaking ball below the knees. It was like less than a foot away from the dirt, and he managed to golf it out. He hit it 92.5 miles an hour off the bat. It went 357 feet, and believe it or not, Dibs, it was a home run in 23 out of 30 ballparks, including Oracle Park. Part of the reason at Oracle is because it's very short down the right field line.
Like 309 or whatever.
And he golfed it out, so it was enough to clear that 24-foot high wall over there in right field. So it actually would have been a home run at Oracle Park. Now, the one thing that this does not take into account is carry factors and, if it's a night game at Oracle or a day game or whatever it is. Just based on distance and the flight path of the ball, that's a home run at Oracle Park as well. But it was not like this giant, amazing home run. Now, his next home run, the three-run homer in the sixth, 101.7 off the bat, 410 feet, and that's safely a home run in every single ballpark, Dib. So he has a swing that is ballpark-proof. Now, again, it might, if he plays at Coors versus plays at Oracle, will he have different numbers when it's all said and done? Yes, of course, but he still has the kind of bat that can be effective. How about this, Dibs, also from the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. A different 925 writes, the Giants are 1.5 games behind the last wildcard spot. I think people are overreacting, and the Giants will eventually edge into the postseason. That's not a crazy take by any stretch of the imagination. I said yesterday, if I were to bet, I would bet against the Giants making the playoffs, but I don't think it's an obvious pick one way or another. It would still be incredibly disappointing to me personally if the Giants were to miss the postseason. But there's no doubt, Dibs, that the way that their bats have been going of late, it gives me a lot more confidence. I just have concerns now elsewhere. It's kind of like you're playing whack-a-mole, and you get one, but yep, something else pops up, or you got a hole in your boat, and you cover one up, but then another hole springs, and you're just trying to fill these holes all over the place. Now the bats are working a little bit because Adames is hitting good. Ramos has been good the last 2 days as well, after he struggled at the plate a lot of late. Devers, we know what he just did. You have a little bit of momentum going on here offensively, but we got concerns on defense. We've got concerns in the pitching staff. We got concerns base running. So it's almost like one step forward, but at the same time, maybe a step or two backwards as well.
It could be, but you look at the offense, and if the offense can be what we saw the last 2 days, and you mentioned 4 days, but you went 2-2 over the course of those 4 days. So I just think about today, and you didn't even mention the Rafi Devers single, which was 114 miles an hour. So he had two homers, and then he had a single that was actually hit harder or hit faster than the other two home runs. And Bailey had a double that was 110 miles an hour, and Ramos had a ball that was absolutely scorched. And so you start to look at the offense. If they can all lock in, or as my daughter would say, yock in, because L's are Y's, then you can see an offense that can carry a pitching staff that doesn't have a fifth starter right now and has Justin Verlander, who just finally got his first win, and Landon Roop, who might eventually hit some sort of a wall. So if your offense can be what we think it might be able to be, then some of those other issues get mitigated.
The Rafi Devers single that you mentioned, 114 miles an hour off the bat. All games in baseball today, and today is getaway day for a lot of teams around the league, so a lot of day games that are already happening or have already ended, much like the Giants. Rafi Devers, 114 mile an hour off the bat, that single in the first inning. That is the hardest hit ball of the day across all of Major League Baseball.
All right. Yeah.
And that's a single anywhere you are. That's a hit. He's on base. Doesn't matter where you're playing.
No doubt. And he had two home runs outside of that. Yeah. So, you think about Rafi Devers. If he can start to be the player that they expected when they traded for him, and Adames has been great now for almost 2 months, and you start to sprinkle in, other players who could potentially be good and start to lock in, and then this lineup becomes what we thought it might be.
Okay, so Rafi Devers obviously hitting the ball much better now, and it's a small sample of him hitting the ball really, really well, but considering who he is and who he has been in his career, I don't think it is crazy to assume that he's going to hit the ball pretty darn well the rest of the season. Now, not that he's going to hit two home runs every single day, and he's not going to single-handedly win you baseball games all the time. But I think it's a relatively safe assumption to assume that he's going to be a whole lot better than he has been up to this point for the rest of the season. Okay, so that's one piece of this. We could be a lot more convinced about Devers, Dibs, but you still got these questions elsewhere. I mean, how much are you buying into what Verlander can do the rest of the year? Yeah, he got the win today, 5 innings, 1 hit, no runs. Like, you'll take 5 shutout innings every single day, but as you just mentioned, walked the bases loaded in the first inning,
yep,
walked 2 other batters. It was not easy. He had to labor through it. Now, credit to him for clearly not having his best command and his best out pitch and still putting up zeros 5 times. That's impressive in and of itself, but we're talking about a guy who in his 17th start of the year just picked up his first win. This is not as if suddenly the Giants now have 4 locked in, I feel great about all 4 starters. That spot's still a pretty big question, isn't it?
It is, and I think the whole thing is a big question, and it's, Logan and Robbie Ray, they've been good. They were shaky last time, but you would definitely pen them in, maybe in Sharpie, as guys that you can rely on. And Landon Roop, I still think, is a little bit of a wild card as we get into August and September, and he gets up to 130, 140, 150 innings, whatever that number will eventually be. And Verlander, even though he got his first win today, has not been lights out. The ERA goes down. The whip, walks and hits over innings pitch, that probably goes up because you know, he walked five and he gave up just the one hit. But
I think six base runners in five innings, it actually probably his whip went down.
Right. But I mean,
more so about who he's been than who he was today,
right,
though.
And he's not been that sharp. And then your number five spot in the rotation is a big question mark. We don't know who it's going to be. Yeah. So I do think when you look at that part of it, you've got more questions than answers. But if the offense can start to be an offense that you have to worry about, then I think you worry less about the pitching staff because you're not relying on winning 3-2 all the time anymore. If you've got Adamas hot and, you know, Chappie plays like he can, and, you know, Rafi Devers, he's not going to hit two home runs every game, but today he showed exactly the kind of player that he should and could be.
Bob Melvin postgame today on Justin Verlander's five innings.
We know it every time he goes out there. Guys try extra hard, and for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked out. And for him to be able to get through five after throwing upwards of, 40 pitches close in the first inning, I mean, there's some toughness involved in that. You know, a lot of heat out there. You know, he knows that bullpen-wise, we're a little beat up, too. To get through the first was huge for him, and then he ran pretty good after that and gave us five and got a win, and it was celebrated pretty good in there.
Yeah, that first inning was a mess. In fact, here is Bob Melvin talking about how close Verlander specifically was to being pulled in the first.
Man, I didn't want him to throw 50. I was willing to let him throw into the 40s, but 50 would have been too much.
And he finished, I think, 41 pitches, I think it was, in the first inning?
Wow.
Could you imagine if he got pulled in the first inning, Dibs? Could not get out of the first inning. That would have been the second time in 3 days the Giants starter could
right.
not get out of the first inning. That would have been an absolute disaster, and I'm sure we'd probably be singing a little bit of a different tune right now. The fact that he was able to battle back from that and get the Giants five shutout innings, it's a big reason why. I mean, we're seeing a lot of it on the text line right now as well. There is more confidence. I just want to be careful, Dibs, of not overreacting because yeah, Devers, great, and Verlander, congrats, you got your first win, and I'm sure that feels great, and Bo Mel said there was celebration going on in the clubhouse after, as there should be. You have to enjoy these kinds of moments, but this isn't suddenly a team that has their entire pitching staff figured out and now is one of the best offensive teams in baseball. I'm still looking at this team, and it's like I'm still kind of unsure of who you are exactly as a baseball team because you've been, for a lot of this season, opposite of what you say you're trying to be as a pitching and defense and base running team. We haven't seen that consistently.
No, and base running has been kind of a nightmare, and the defense has been mediocre at best, and the pitching has been great, but you need to have more of that consistently in order to win. And the other piece of it is the offense. And, you know, you play in Atlanta, a place that it's very hitter friendly, and you play against an Atlanta team that doesn't have a ton of great pitchers, although Strider is a great pitcher and you were able to get to him eventually. So that gives you a little bit of encouragement knowing that you went up against one of the better pitchers in the NL and you were able to get the offense going. But I think about coming back home and you've got the Mets, a team that is a very good hitting team, and you're going to throw your two aces, Logan and Robbie, in games 1 and 2, and you hope that, you know, they can kind of keep the Mets at bay. But when you come to this park, it's tough for everyone to score. And so that puts a little bit more pressure on your pitching staff.
How much, what do you buy the Landon Roop rest of the year conversation? Because he was obviously very good yesterday. And this, like, the last two games, I take away, I mean, I got questions about Roop, I got questions about Verlander, and I got questions about Devers. What we saw from those three dudes specifically in these last two games over the last 24 hours, how confident does that change our confidence in that trio specifically going forward? I think for Devers, for me, it's yes. A hitter like that who has seemingly broken through his slump, I expect that to continue. With Verlander, I still got a question mark. With Roop, I still have a question mark, Dibs, because, I mean, he only threw five innings. And he could have kept going. His pitch count wasn't such that it was time to take him out. But the Giants are at a point, Dibs, where he has now thrown 101 and a third innings. His career high as a professional is just over 107 innings. So he's one start away from essentially matching his career high in innings pitched in a single season at the professional level. Not at the big league level, but just at the professional level. He's been great. And what he did yesterday was amazing. Five shutout. You absolutely needed that from him. He was your stopper, and he's your least experienced pitcher other than Birdsong, although probably also as inexperienced as Birdsong is, and he was the guy to do that. So on one hand, it's amazing. Giants needed that. That is a clutch outing. Landon Roep, you get a round of applause. But on the other hand, Dibs, it's I'm trying to read between the lines, and the Giants taking him out after only five innings, that might be a sign that they're trying to limit the innings that he throws the rest of the season.
If you look at his whole year, five innings has been his average. He's only gone more than five eight times in his 20 starts. And so five innings is about what you'd expect from him. And I'm looking at pitches thrown, and he threw 87 pitches in yesterday's game, threw five. So could you have put him out there for one more? I mean, probably, but his 87 pitches, that's a right about where he's been all year. He's only thrown over 100 pitches three times. He threw 101 in five innings against Philadelphia. He threw 100 against Philadelphia, coincidentally, in five innings. And he threw 104 against the Dodgers in six in that loss that they lost 2-1. So if you want to talk about pitches, not innings, and I do think that pitches is more indicative of where you want to have a guy sit. The majority of his games have been between 75 and 90, and so you get to 87 and you get out of five innings against Atlanta. That's going to be it. You don't want to throw him back out there. And so going forward, though, as you mentioned, innings and his limit, you've got another, 10 starts you want him to make? 11 starts, maybe 12, based on
somewhere around there
how it's going to be. So he's going to go by the innings limit. I just wonder about the pitch limit. And if he's only going to go five innings, well, that's going to put the bullpen in many spots under the microscope.
Yeah, I pulled this from a couple of weeks ago when he was on with you and Willard, Landon Roep. This was back from July 8th. You guys asked him if there's been any conversation about a potential innings limit. Landon, you're approaching your career high for innings pitched in a professional season. Any conversation? This was, again, a couple of weeks ago. Here's Landon.
Yeah, that's been a popular question as of recently. But as far as I know, we have not talked about it at all. At least it hasn't been brought up to me. So my plan is to, you know, stay healthy, get in the training room, get in the weight room, work out, and just stay healthy and be able to go out there every fifth day and help these guys and our team get to a playoff.
Now, that was 2 weeks ago. A lot can change over the course of 2 weeks. But as of 2 weeks ago, no one in the Giants had come up to Landon Roep and said, hey, we got a target level of innings that we're trying to get you to, and then we're going to have to adjust the plan. Now, maybe that conversation had happened and Landon Roep hadn't been involved in it at that point. Maybe it's happened since then. That's partly why, Dibs, I'm not totally sold on Landon Roep just being the guy every single fifth game the rest of the season, because we're in uncharted territory, and it's why I'm still not entirely sold that suddenly these last two games just fix all the problems the Giants had.
They don't fix it, and I also believe that, you know, a pitcher at his level, you can certainly extend beyond what you're normally used to throwing. He's going to be 27 in September. He's not a young kid. And so every year that you pitch, you try to extend them over what their previous high limit was in terms of innings. So I think somebody joined us and said, I don't know if it's 30 innings more than what you've done or 40 or more, but they can extend him beyond what he's ever pitched before. And the fact that he's 27, I think allows you to maybe think about 150 innings safely or maybe even more.
Yeah, well, they're going to need him, much like they're going to need Verlander, because I don't know what else you can turn to at this point. All right, speaking of Verlander, his brother, Ben Verlander, joins us coming up next. Flipping Bats podcast with Fox. We'll talk about Justin Verlander with Ben Verlander and this Giants team as a whole. That's what's coming up next. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. It's Willard and Dibs. Dibs and Grandy with you on 95.7 The Game.